In this episode of Podcast Tactics, a seasoned podcaster shares tips and lessons learned since launching an audio community in 2018 for anyone on a personal development journey. I'm James, the host of Podcast Tactics. If you want to keep learning about podcasting, get inspired, and stay motivated, join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get into it. Joining me at the mic is veteran podcaster Krista Ziomata in Austin, Texas. Krista, thank you so much for coming on and joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Tell us about your podcast. What is the name of it and what's it all about?
Yes, thank you. So my podcast is called I'm Awake Now What? And the reason I named it that is because I had this sort of spiritual awakening that occurred and I left my religion of origin. And a lot of the conditioning we receive as children, whether it's in a religious institution or not, there's kind of like this veil that gets lifted off of your own eyes as you come into your own adulthood and your own awareness. And so I felt like I was waking up. What do I do now? And the last, I would say, 12 years of my life, 10 to 12 years of my life, has been answering that question. And the podcast was like a very easy thing for me to do once I got towards the other side and the more, I would say, solidified place of my own belief systems and how I want to present in the world and the things that I want to do. I love podcasting. So I was like, I knew I was going to do a podcast. Whenever I figured out the name and the idea, I was like, yeah, this feels right. And so I'm going to start this and this is where I'm going to go. And it's been really great ever since.
Very cool. When did you start this podcast?
So I started like early 2018. I started recording like in January of that year. And then like my first episode didn't get out until April. Cause like everyone who starts new podcasting, you know, I had to teach myself how to edit and the music and, you know, decide the style and the format. And I would say it was a bumpy first year for sure.
So that seems like if my math, we were talking about doing math before we rolled audio and now yeah. So January, February,
like
March,
a little
April.
Over 3 years. Yeah.
You started recording. Yeah. So it took you about 4 months to actually ramp up and feel comfortable enough, man, with your first episode to launch it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about those challenges that you ran into, you know, in that 4 month span between when you decided to start the podcast and when you actually released your first episode. What was the biggest challenge you ran into and how did you break through that?
I will say, like, to get technical with the people here who probably know all of the applications. And I think there's like a Team Reaper and a Team Audacity. And for me, I felt like Audacity, I felt like it must have had some female influence because it was very like intuitive and nurturing when I was over there. And Reaper, I just felt overwhelmed. And I felt like Reaper was, and these are recording platforms that people use. There's a lot more out there now, but when I was, those were kind of like the two I was trying to learn. I had like panic attacks to try to record in Reaper and I could never get anything right. And so there was like the learning curve of the recording application piece that was really challenging. And then as an audio medium, you know, I went in and I read a bunch of reviews about what were like the core things that people were looking for as their experience to a podcast. And they said that microphones were really key in that. And so I started out with a blue light because everyone had given a lot of like, you know, great reviews on Amazon. And when I produced that first show, I got so much negative feedback about the audio. And so I was like, well, I'm going to have to invest in like an expensive microphone and maybe record in Reaper and try to edit in Audacity. And so there was a lot of challenges in trying to figure out like, you know, I don't know the technicality of this, but what I do know I want to do is make sure that I don't lose listeners because the audio quality is poor. And so I worked on that for like another month or two and got like a Shure microphone and then reformatted the show also because I was getting kind of jazzy in the beginning. I don't know. I got real extra with my introductions and my outros. And I was like, I can't do this forever. So yeah. I was like, no, like who's winning at the podcast game? So another piece to try to like sharpen up the show was I went and looked at like all of the top podcasting shows and what was their like general formula. And, you know, the general formula is like an ask in the beginning with a clear summary, an introduction, then the interview, then another ask at the end for people to come back and rate and review and subscribe and all of that. And then after I settled on that, I was like, yeah, that's the winning formula. And the podcast started to take off after I got that really solid structure, solid sound. And that was like, that was what it needed to sort of soar.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that makes sense too, because it's something that you can rely on, right? Like you don't have to worry about, like once you have the technicality dialed in, I'm still struggling with it too. I'm a new podcaster, you know, so it's like, you know, Audacity versus, you know, I use Adobe Audition sometimes, you know, so I'm still kind of juggling things. But there are some things that I am able to rely on that you're talking about with like some consistency from show to show, just so that I'm not having to like be so overwhelmed by it. Because, you know, in the beginning, there's a lot of technical things that I don't think, well, I didn't realize. I mean, I think I knew it in some level, but it's like, oh, yeah, you know, and I threw and the video voice on levels. Top of it. Yeah, that yeah. too. And so and editing is a whole, you know, I'm in the midst of, you know, doing my first episode that I'm getting ready to launch next week as of this recording. So I'm
And like how perfectionist you're going to be about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you taking breaths out? Are you taking ums? Are you readjusting people's sentences? That's a lot of work, you know?
And, it is. Yeah.
But the end product is really great if you invest in doing a really thorough editing process. And even I still, 3 years in, struggled. And I just did the one I've released last week. Uh-huh. I listened to all my episodes the day of just to see if I missed any any editing. And I found it in the beginning. I'm like, darn it. I thought I took them all out.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, as much as there are camps with like, you know, the editing platform, there are camps of people who say, I'm not going to get rid of a single versus people that are like, you got to get rid of all the ums. You know? So it's funny where people kind of sit with,
there's
you know?
No like equanimity in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I would say for me, for like as a, also just kind of like a nice to know about why I would even choose to edit so tightly with the ums is that like, I think about my guests and I think also too that it's my job to make them sound really good. And not everybody is a good interviewer. And that's just kind of like, not a judgment. That's just, not everyone is very fluid at it, right? And so one of the things in the editing process is it's important for me to make sure that I allow the guest to sound as polished as possible. Because sometimes you'll have these interviews and they're thinking about their thought and you can condense the thought, but you don't really move the space so close together. And it still sounds like they're dragging out their thought, but you want that answer to be sharp and crisp so that you don't lose the cadence of the interview. And those like those little nuanced things that really help your podcast shine, but also that your guest feels like, you know, they're doing you a favor by coming onto your show and they're really wanting to promote whatever it is that they've got in their world. And so it's important. I think that's an important thing to think about as a podcaster is like, how do you make them sound good? So they're just as equally excited to share that episode with people because they sound really fantastic and they're not stumbling on their words.
Yeah, that is really, really great advice. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. I mean, that is an important consideration, especially in an interview show as well. And especially with, you know, I'm lucky because it's like, you know, I get to interview podcasters and they're so polished. Like, you know, I don't think there's a single coming out of you. If it is, it's all right. You know, like it seems natural. You know, everybody is very well spoken. So, I mean, in terms of editing, I'm kind of lucky with that. You know, I kind of have to nitpick to find things, you know, for the most part. It's usually me that I'm like, oh, I gotta cut that out. enough about me. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about successes. One, how do you define success for your podcast and for yourself as a podcaster? And two, what is your biggest success that you've achieved so far?
Yeah, I love this question so much because it's so relative, right? Our success can be a lot of things. My success is not monetary anymore. When I was younger, I'm 40 now, but when I was in my 30s, I really worked very hard and ambitiously to climb the corporate ladder. And so like, I know what, you know, chased all of the check marks or whatever. So I love this question because it's changed as I've evolved as a human being. And the podcast, I went into it with the idea of wanting to help people along their spiritual journey. So my baseline was like, it's cheesy to say, but I think we all say this to ourselves, if we're in the frame of mind of being of service to others, it's like, if I can help one person, then, right? Like, that's just your baseline. And then anything above and beyond that is like success. And so I thought, if I can just help one person with my lived experience, in addition to the people that I'm bringing into the show who can share their lived experience and give people like the courage to step into a new light and a new life and whatever it is that they were wanting to do, then that to me would be success. And early on in the show, I started receiving, you know, direct messages on my Instagram, or people can email you now through all of the platforms. And they would say things like, I thought I was the only one going through this, or I really appreciate that you have niched out this one area of spirituality because I couldn't find support in X, Y, and Z. And to me, that felt like such an affirmation. And it's not like I'm getting thousands of emails, but every now and then again, I will get one or two, and that's worth it to me. That's like a big, that's how I define my success now. Like, if somebody is telling me I've helped them, then I'm good. I don't need 10 people to tell me, but at least maybe one or two out there in the world, and I'm good. And for the second part of that question, I would say my biggest success was editing my first show. Not really. I really wanted to, in the process of doing the podcast, my goal was like, I'm going to try to get one very well-known spiritual person in the spiritual industry that's well-known each year. And if I can do that, I feel like that would make me successful, as well as allow me to have more credibility in the niched area that I was. And it took me almost a full entire year of the podcast to finally book this gentleman named Mike Dooley. And he's like the most big of all of the bigs in spirituality. Like, it doesn't really get any bigger than Mike Dooley. And he has had a prolific writing career, a prolific cinematic career with creating like motivational videos and documentaries and things like that. And I, you know, after that happened, it's like anyone who is interested in personal development and setting goals for themselves, instead of relaxing on your laurels, then you say, all right, next time, let's get two more people. What does next year look like? And how can I leverage this interview? And that was Mike Dooley coming to the podcast was like a huge game changer for my podcast, because he blew it out to all of his organizations and circles. And that changed everything. That made me a success in my niche, I would say. It's not like everyone knows who I am in other podcasts, but in spirituality, now I have a little space carved out for myself, which is really, I think, a success, is what I would define as a success.
That's great. How did you score that interview?
Yeah, I've actually been asked this question, and I always get embarrassed about it to answer it.
Do tell.
Because it's not embarrassing, but it's just kind of funny to me. But he does like 3-day weekend retreats, and I had met him actually a few years prior at a book signing, and he was super nice. He talked to all of us after the book signing, super nice guy. And I kept thinking, man, if I went to one of his other things, I know he always talks to everybody after it because he's very approachable, super hospitable. And sure enough, he came to San Antonio. I'm in Austin, about an hour south of here. And I signed up for this thing again. And during one of our lunch breaks, he's making the round. And I'm like, So, hey, Mike, I have this podcast. It's doing really well right now. I would love to have you. And he was like, well, how many listeners do you have per week? What's your social media reach? Like he was not going to be like doing it if I had like five listeners. And I told at that time I had like 14,000 downloads or something like that. And he was like, okay. He was like, well, I'll give you this girl's email and you email her and she'll get this, get us together. And I thought, I don't know. What if he's giving me a fake email or something? Uh-huh. It just does that to everybody who asks him, but it was real. It was his person at his organization. And he came onto the podcast and he said, I'm only going to give you 30 minutes because I have a lot of things to do. And I was like, if you gave me 15 minutes, that would be enough. And so, yeah, that's how I got him on the show. And then that opened up the door for lots of other people after him.
Well, that's fantastic. I don't see anything embarrassing about that at all. I mean, you were brave
like
and you asked.
Well, it's kind of like a stalker moment.
Okay.
Like driving down, stalkering it. That's the embarrassing part for me.
I see. It wasn't too stalkery. I've heard worse. Not on this show, but you know.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how you've been promoting. Well, actually, not been. Let's start at the beginning. I'm curious about like when you started out, how did you start with promoting your show?
Yeah, I have to say this. I am notoriously bad at social media marketing and advertising because that's along with math, I would say that's my Achilles heel. I could do a lot of things, but I don't have the visual sort of, I think there's so much beautiful things that people do to promote their podcast and that's just not me. And I really drug my heels for a long time asking for help. And so early on, I didn't really do anything. I just tried to like follow people on Instagram. I would tell people, I would ask the people who would come onto the podcast to share the episode. And then it wasn't until I think that first year. Yeah, I think after the first year, you know, the idea about advertising on podcasts, how people make it seem like it's this like really crazy, weird thing. And you have to have a bunch of like listeners and things like that. But really, I did a bunch of research and I saw that like in our industry, they say you can charge for advertising per your listening audience. That's just like the general formula that everyone does. And so I went and I basically asked a lot of my spiritual entrepreneur connections that I had. And I said to them, do you want to advertise on my podcast? And they were paying me like $10 for an advertising. This is like second season or something. And that really helped me get the podcast have more reach because when their ads aired, they wanted to tell their people about their ads. And then the people who listened would go back to them. And then it was like, what one season I actually had like six ads in one show. I'm sure I annoyed everybody for that episode. But I was like, I'm just going to do this because I think as an industry, it's not really clear how you can go about getting advertising and what is the legality between like, if you put an advertisement on your show, what is your platform going to say? What is Apple going to say? And there's all these things that you need to like figure out before you do it. And after I did that, that really helped me because it sort of cross-pollinated in areas that I wouldn't have really thought of. And that helped a lot with the advertising because, again, I'm not an advertising guru at all.
Wow. Well, well done. I mean, what I'm getting here is, you know, the power of the ask again, right? Uh-huh. You know, like with your interview that you asked for with sponsorship, you know, starting somewhere with it and just asking was a very, very powerful tool for you. An important takeaway, you know, as far as this show is concerned as well.
Yeah, that's a good observation. I like that.
I feel like I want to open up a can of worms here and talk to you because you mentioned something about legalities with sponsorship, and I'm curious about that. I don't know. Have you ran into issues with, you know, sponsors and like Apple or other platforms and, you know, the legal ramifications of putting an ad on your show?
No. So right now you're not going to get in trouble if you put an ad on your show and don't approve it through your hosting platform or through Apple or Spotify or whomever you do. I think the industry is getting really ready to change in wake of the the pandemic. So I'll just say this and answer the rest of the question is that, you know, last week Libsyn acquired what is akin to like a Spotify, and Spotify is growing like crazy in podcasting. And Apple is really starting to fear that they're getting edged out in these like monetary deals that are happening. And so there's been a lot of rumbling that what's going to actually happen is we're now going to have to pay on top of the distribution feed that we have through our platforms that host our podcast MP3s, that now we're going to have to pay to be on Apple and we're going to have to pay to be on Spotify. So that's going to get really dicey, I think, moving forward. That's just something to think about as a podcaster. I now have a podcasting network. So we're looking at turning to online radio, because online radio, you pay a subscription, you load all the MP3s, and it runs all day long, and you can do it just like a radio show or whatever. So we're in the process of moving over to that in anticipation for this other thing to happen. The thing that I will say about the legality piece that's important for anyone to get together is you need to have a contract for everybody that advertises on your show. You have to make sure that it doesn't auto renew. You don't want to have that done. So that's one legal E to do. The other thing is that depending on what state you live in, you have to declare that money to your state. So like I'm in Texas. So not only do I have to declare that money to the federal government, but I have to declare it to Texas. And although, I the podcast is LLC'd. That's a good thing to do. So when you're LLC, you also, if you have people that are working for you, you have to put all of the legal stuff about how much you paid them as well, all of those things. And just anticipate that you'll be paying taxes on the advertising that you receive up to, you know, X amount of dollars. Sometimes I think some states, if it's below $500, they're not even going to worry about taxing you. So the legal part is really protect yourself with a contract, make sure you understand the parameters of your individual state and what they expect from you if you're going to be receiving that as income. And then you should be good. Go out there and ask people to put ads on your show.
Well, thanks for that dose of reality. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's legitimately something that we need to, you know, be concerned about,
scary,
especially if it's something that, you know, as a podcaster, if you're going to entertain the notion of putting sponsors onto a show, there's a lot to consider. It's not just speaking an ad. I mean, you know, so
yeah.
Let's get into an episode discussion. I listened to a couple of your podcasts. I don't want to put any spoilers out there. I mean, people, you know, that are listening to this show, please, you know, listen to your show, right? You know, I listened to episode one because I like to, you know, for people who are experienced.
Oh my God. You see?
Hold on. So I listened to episode because, you know, people who have this kind of big backlog of episodes, I like to listen to their first episode and then listen to their most recent episode, which is what I did. And yes, you know, you started somewhere. You know, you already talked about your audio, you know, journey.
It was very tragic.
But I will say, in comparison to episode one, your most recent episode, wow, you know, like the audio quality is very, very rich, very nice. I did notice, you had a sponsor, you know, sponsorship. Mm-hmm. The production of your show, it's very, very clean. But even, you know, like the content of your show as well, like it's an inspirational show. I loved listening to it. It's my jam.
Oh, thank you.
I totally enjoyed listening to both of the episodes because of the journey that I knew you were on and that, you know, having been done that. I mean, I'm doing it for selfish reasons, right? I'm in that first step and it's like, I'm fumbling along and I find comfort in knowing that like people like you who are experienced with this, they had to, you know, you had to start somewhere too. So,
and be gentle with yourself through that whole process.
Yeah.
And I think what's important too, I did a podcast interview kind of around the same topic that we're talking about to try to give other podcasters help. And one of the things I said to the podcaster is like, you know, I thought that people wouldn't want to listen for an hour. So I started in the beginning, breaking out each episode to 30 minutes, and I quickly realized that it was so disjointed and trying to keep the flow of the conversation and to look at the return on investment of people coming back to listen to the second episode was not as much as the first one, and so on and so forth. And you have to be comfortable as a podcaster knowing that you're going to change until you find your right combination and equation. And it's okay to change over and over again and to change your music and your podcast art. It's like anything else. It's trial and error. So you have to be like very gentle with that process of sort of molding your own flow, your podcast, your interview style. Like everything is up for evolution, and you just have to be super gentle with yourself while you navigate that process, I think is also something to think about.
Is there one thing that you're doing now that you wish you did in the beginning?
Yeah, I would say a lot of things. But if you're only asking about one, is the just having that basic structure to work off of. Because when you interview people, I think sometimes, and maybe this is just like my own personality, because we talked about the team not editing and the team editing, or just having a free flowing conversation. But I think that for me in the beginning, I also really struggled to rein in my guests. I'm not going to say what episode it is, but there was one guest that would not let me get a word in edgewise. And it was very hard for me to bring the conversation back. And not just that they were not letting me get in a word edgewise, but they were like kitchen sinking everything, meaning like they were talking about everything that wasn't related to the interview. And so the thing that has really helped me stay in alignment with the not just the structure of the podcast, but also to keep me sort of at task when I'm in the interview is like, right, like I see you're looking at your questions, like I write down my questions. I have extra ones in case I run out of, or in case we have extra time, because some people are very curt with their answers, and then some people are very verbose, and there's everything in between. And being able to manage like the time back and forth. So like I'm constantly looking at the time, and I can tell, you know, people who need a lot of explaining. And I'm also thinking in my mind, if they're taking long breaths, then that means I'm going to have, you know, probably 5 to 7 minutes to spare in the episode so we can go overtime wise, you know, like I'm just more organized than I was, but that in and of itself was a learning process, because I kept bumping up against instances where I was like, I felt like who's interviewing who here?
Well, let's take a few steps back here. That was gold information and gold advice. Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
I want to, you know, take a few steps back and talk about your podcast in general and pick your brain. Well, not pick your brain. I want to ask you, what is it that you want people to get out of your podcast? Why should they listen to your show?
Well, they should listen to my show if they're invested in their own personal development. And it doesn't mean you even have to be spiritual, because I bring people from all walks of life. And I think if you're invested, I think it's something as a human being, we're created to evolve. And sometimes we need people along the journey of our own evolution to help give us the guidance and the clarity and the wisdom that we don't have yet, so that we can evolve into that next iteration of ourselves. But if you're somebody who's like spiritually inclined, you're going to get to hear from a whole host of different people, different walks of life, different religions, different spiritual practices, that it allows you to nourish yourself and gives you the confidence, I think, to stand in your own belief systems, which I think we're evolving away from organized religion. And so we need people to really be clear on their core values as human beings, on their own morality, on their own ethics. And you do that by understanding how other people are sort of synthesizing life outside of the constructs of the rule of law and organized religion. And you get all of those things if you listen to the podcast, is what I would say.
let's get into a time machine, Krista.
Okay.
You've been going at
this.
Let's
do it.
Yeah, let's hop into it. Where's the DeLorean?
I know. Like, so wait, are we going to the 80s then?
You've been going at this for about 3 years now. Uh-huh. Let's go 3 years in the future. What are your hopes for your podcast?
I would very much like to score Oprah. I've said this very much. Oprah or Elizabeth Gilbert. Those are my two big wishes, because Elizabeth Gilbert, for one, I think is a phenomenal writer. And Oprah's Oprah. So I don't even have to explain that. And honestly, as an interviewer, wouldn't you want to have somebody like her give you feedback about your interviewing style and how, like, what can I would just like her to just, I'd like her to pick apart one of my episodes and let me know what I could do better. So in future for my podcast specifically, I would love to get a very big wish list on my wish list of a guest. That would be amazing. But I want to watch it continue to grow. I don't have any intention of letting it go. But in the future, my focus has shifted towards my network, my podcast network that I'm doing with my co-founder, Lena, which is Lightcasting Network. And I really want to develop that and help other people in the spiritual podcasting industry, specifically, help them grow their podcast in the same way I did, and make sure that we support each other as a collective so that we can help the larger collective, which is, I think, the pretty much the ethos of everything all of us are doing in that world, as well as in what you're doing as well.
Krista, please tell us where people can learn more about you and your wonderful podcast.
So I'm only on Instagram. So you can go to IANW Podcast on Instagram. I'm over there. And then you can go to houseofenlightenhood.com. That is our website. That's where you can learn about the podcasting network. We also repurpose all of our podcast episodes as digital form over there and written words. So you can go play around over there. And that's kind of it. Those are the only two places you can find me these days.
Well, I'll be sure to get all that information for the show notes so that people can link over to all of that very easily. I would love to keep in touch with you. I know you're busy, but, you know, hopefully we can catch up maybe 6 months down the road and maybe even do a follow-up interview if we can make that happen.
For sure. I know that you're doing it so well, and I know that it's going to be awesome, and I'm really proud of you, and you have such a great interviewing style already. So I'm not worried about you at all. I think you're going to fly.
Wow. I feel so pressured now. Thank you so much for that.
And just don't give up. Don't give up. Like, it's always a slow burn, you know, That will be my last tidbit of advice. Podcasting is a slow burn. I say in our podcasting network media kit that there's like these four things that people really need to focus on in their podcast. Get to 50 episodes, because most episodes fail after 50. So if you get it over that 50, you're already, you know, and that you're already, I'm doing better than most people. Get your sound quality good. Make sure that your structure stays the same, and then keep your release cadence at the same time, because we are humans and we need routine. And if you give us our routine, we will show up. So do that and the people will come, and that's all you got to do. And I think you're great. You're great at this. You're natural.
The name of the show is I'm Awake Now What? Krista, I so appreciate the time you've spent with us. I know we're running a little bit over. I appreciate all of the wisdom that you brought to this episode. I wish you the best of luck. No doubt you're on track to achieve all the success that you're putting out there for yourself and creating for yourself. I wish you the best.
Yeah, likewise. Right back at you.
Thanks again to Krista. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Krista and her show, I'm Awake, Now What? Please share what you got out of my conversation by leaving a review on podchaser.com. You can find out how to do this in the show notes, and do let me know what you need from me to make this show even better for you. And make sure you follow Podcast Tactics to keep learning more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.